I'm dreading when they put the thermometers up on either side. I've got a pretty good idea that Bronk's ahead of me, and I found out that whoever loses has got to write a check to make up the difference. You know, help me, won't you help me? Hallelujah. Look, just turn to two places real quick. I want to give you, in the New Testament, for New Testament Christians, I really only know two ways to give. You know, the Old Testament's not that way. You have very specific formulas and all kinds of offerings, and it wasn't left up to choice. You did it because you're under law. But we're not under the law except the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of love, see? And, you know, when a first person really starts learning that, at first your flesh just rejoices that you're not under the tithe anymore. And, you know, you just rejoice, after, you know, oh, wow. But by the time I get through with this exhortation, some of you might be begging to be back in under it again, you know. You'll see what I mean in a minute. See, because really, we're not under law. We're really not. Just the law of love. And two ways to give. One of them here is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes... Ladies, I'm going to have to separate you right over here. I can tell this. I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'll wrap your knuckles or something. All except for the cute blonde right there. I'm not going to wrap that one. I was raised at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm telling you, you know, I was born at night. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Where is it purposed? In your heart. Now notice, not grudgingly. Anytime that you're in a service, it won't be at this church, it won't be at the prayer center, but if you might be somewhere where an offering is almost pulled out of you, if there's something in your heart that's like, if there's a grudge there, you know, something's grudging, I'll be honest with you, I don't think God's going to receive that anyway. Just keep it, you know. Not grudgingly. Now notice, or of necessity. Why put that in there? You're not under the law. It's not necessity. You're not forced to do it. You were under the old covenant. God loves a cheerful giver. And really it goes back to this morning's message when I was talking about my little lily cakes. My little 5-year-old granddaughter. You see, you're his lily cakes. Really, you are. I don't care if you're 66 like me. I'm his Gary cakes. Really. And I know what went through me when that little 5-year, that little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, she saw me enjoying her eating that ice cream cone. And just of her own heart, no ulterior motive at all, come over and it took that ice cream cone and offered it to me and said, "Papa, would you yike a yito yike?" I'm telling you, all of my kingdom was hers at that moment, saying. And it's the same way with God, you know, when it really, that's why it says here, God loves a cheerful giver. Like, remember Lily, nothing in her heart but says, "I love you, I want to share with you." Well, if you want to touch God, give him a yito yik. So that's one way, okay, purpose in your own heart, what you want to give. Now look, let's look at the other one. Go back to Luke 17 now. And I'm not going to, if we could make a 2-week seminar out of this. If I had time, we'd go all the way back to Luke 15:1 and come all the way through Luke 17:10, which is, I love to do that. But let me just say this. What's been going on for chapters here? It starts off with Jesus out amongst the sinners, and the religious people just couldn't understand that. Because to them, these sinners were just worthless. So Jesus, he starts going through these parables that you're all familiar with. He says, "Now, if one of you lost a sheep, I know that sheep is valuable to you. Wouldn't you be out looking for it till you found it? And you'd rejoice when you found it, because I know that's valuable to you. Or if you lost a coin. See, that's the next one. If you lost a coin, you know, like you'd be like a woman who lost a coin in her house. She'd be moving the furniture and calling friends to help until she found it. And then she'd throw a party. Why? Well, that coin's valuable to her. Then he gives the example of the prodigal son who, you know, he took the inheritance and squandered it all, and he's out there. He got so low that he was about to put his face in the feeding trough with the pigs. You know, for a Jew to be feeding pigs in the first place is pretty low. But to put your face in the trough with them, it's about as low as it gets. So when he returns home, you know, there was a party and rejoicing, and Jesus is trying to teach them that that lost person is what's valuable to the Father. He says, you place value on sheep and coins. My Father places value on these sheep. Excuse me, on these lost sinners. And that's why I'm out amongst them seeking and saving that which is lost. Now it goes on. The next thing he talks about is the unjust steward. And his counsel to us in a nutshell is, have enough sense to know the only time you get to be his steward is while you're alive on this planet. One day your stewardship is going to come to an end. You're going to graduate to heaven. It's too late to give into an offering then. It's too late to give into the gospel then. The only time we get to do it, so he says, while you're his steward, while you have this opportunity, have enough sense to realize you're really his steward. And use your money to harvest lost souls into the kingdom. Then he starts talking to the Pharisees who were covetous. And as an example of them, he uses the rich man and Lazarus. Now we're headed to Luke 17 here. Uses the rich man and Lazarus. You all know the story very well. Lazarus was sick and covered with all kinds of sores. And the rich man, he would just pass by him every day. That Lazarus was laid right there at his gate. I never forget the word picture that Pastor Dave gave one time. It still breaks my heart. He said that rich man just walked past him every day. Lazarus probably died within earshot of the tinkling of wine glasses and fine silver on china. And all he wanted was a crumb. Well, you know what happened with that guy. The rich man, he wound up in hell. So Jesus is talking, really, all of that teaching is aimed at these Pharisees who were really using religion to get wealthy. And they didn't have a heart for the sinner at all. So with all that in mind now, let's start Luke 17. Because these are offenses, using religion, especially financially for gain, when you don't have a heart for the sinners at all. So in Luke 17, he says, it is impossible but that offenses will come. What kind of offenses? The kind he's been talking about for two chapters here, 15 and 16. He says, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I love how Pastor Dave, you know what I'm about to say, Pastor Dave did it right. You know, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter didn't say, increase my faith. When it was time to multiply the loaves and fishes, Peter didn't say, increase my faith. But when Jesus said, when these guys do harm to you financially, seven times in a day, you need to forgive them. And they go, you better increase our faith. We don't know how to do that, Lord. What? You know, we just had this forgiveness line. How do we do that? And he gives them the answer right here. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, now notice particularly how this is worded, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you have a good Bible, it says root, singular, not roots, plural. There is a root. Why do you have trouble, Peter, forgiving that guy who harmed you financially? Why do you have trouble with that one more than others, Peter? Peter, there's a root in you that has to come out. What is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. There's a root that's got to come out, Peter. It has to come out, or you're never going to be able to be my servant. When it comes to these kind of people, I'm trying to reach these people even though they're harming you in this manner. And you're not going to be able to do it without dealing with this root, but it can come out. Now let's keep going. He gives the how it comes out here in just a little bit. He says, which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I've heard all kinds of junk preached about verse 10 there, like unworthy, and I'm just an unworthy, no good. And that's the way he thinks. Well, no, that doesn't fit the image. This thing started off in Luke 15:1, where we see Jesus, the Son of God, out harvesting amongst the sinners. Do you think the Lord considers him to be unprofitable to the kingdom? Absolutely not. He's talking about something else here, but I didn't know what it was. I was meditating on verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And he says, no, I trow not. And to me, that just seemed so unlike Jesus. He's always so kind and courteous, you know. And here this servant is doing everything you ask him to do, and you'd never even give him an attaboy. You don't thank him or anything. And I was meditating and praying, just like Pastor Davis taught us. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost asked me a question. Now remember this. When God the Holy Ghost asked you a question, he is not looking for information. He already knows. He's trying to teach you something. Here's the question he asked me. He said, when was the last time you thanked your hand for obeying your mind? I went, what? Thank my hand for obeying my mind? I said, Lord, I don't thank my hand when it does what my mind tells it to do. I don't see my hand as something separate from me. My hand is just part of, and I began to get it, me. And he says, son, this is what you haven't understood. I don't see you as separate from me. To me, you are my body. You are my hand. You are my hand. To be his steward, you hear from his mind. And you're just the hand. You're just the hand that delivers whatever. Now, I'm just going to give you one example. I could give you thousands. Well, at least hundreds. I don't know about thousands. I could give you hundreds. Hundreds, literally, over this time. Sue and I, as we began to understand this principle years ago, there's two ways to give. You can either purpose in your own heart, or we wanted to be his steward, not only when it comes to church offerings, but in anything. So we would practice, especially ahead of time before church, we'd pray and say, Lord, we're listening. We have enough sense to know that we're one, we're married. Y'all do know we're married, right? We figure the Lord has got enough sense to give us both the same number. If we're going to be his steward that day. Now, sometimes we just purpose in our heart, but we're practicing. We want to hear your voice. And we have enough sense to know he's not going to tell her $50 and tell me $100. He's going to tell us the same number. So we said, Lord, we're listening. And then we'd get to church and it'd be offering time and we'd, well, did you hear anything? And it was timidly at first, you know. Well, I'm just picking numbers. You might say, well, $50. And I go, glory to God, that's what I heard. $50. Hallelujah. And boy, we'd write the check out and put it in the offering. And then sometimes we wouldn't hear the same number. She might hear, I might hear 50. She might hear 100. And we made this agreement in the beginning. Now, if it's a different number, we're always going to go with the highest one. Because we know the flesh would go with the lowest one. So if we're going to err, we're going to err on the high side. But it's amazing, after some practice, it's just amazing. And now the numbers are quite a bit larger at times. And it's amazing how often we'll just hear exactly the same number. Now I want to give you one other one. This is really an extension of this morning's message about learning to trust the Lord. Remember? We say we know him. Lord, use me. And that's fine until he does. So we're practicing. This is quite a few years ago, and we were practicing, and we were sitting in a service one day, and there was a certain lady there. I'm going to be very vague on details. I don't want anyone to guess who it was. But there was a lady there, and I had a little information. I knew she was going through a rough patch, and I knew she was probably behind on some of her bills just in the natural. I knew that. I'm figuring a few $100s. You know, I just knew that the situation. And the Lord began to speak, and He says, I want you to get her caught up on her bills. I said, okay. I'm thinking, a few $100s, all right. Well, whatever you want to do, Lord, how do you want me to do it? Now, what I'm about to tell you, do not do what I'm about to tell you until you have practiced hearing His voice. Okay? I'm not telling you to do what I did except pray until you hear His voice. Okay? Because what I'm about to tell you is stupid. Unless you heard Him. Okay? It only works if you hear Him. But we'd been at it a while. So here's the way He said, do it. I had my checkbook with me, and He says, I want you to write out a check, put today's date on it, put her name there, leave it blank, and sign it. And about then you go, what? Remember all those prayers? Use me, Lord God. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. I want you to be my hand. What? After the service, we did. We made sure not to make a point of it. Nobody knew. We just went over privately and got her. And we said, now, we're not trying to embarrass you or anything, but we feel like you might be behind on some of your bills, and the Lord wants us to help you. So here's a check. When you go home, just add up your bills and put that amount in here and cash it tomorrow. It was a Sunday. Put it in your bank and pay your bills. Get caught up. And she's just wide-eyed. Oh, okay. And we're walking away. And she says, is there any limit? And on the inside, I'm going, I don't know. God, is there? And remember, I'm thinking a few hundred. I turned to her and I heard these words come out of my mouth. I said, Sue was there. I said, keep it under 5,000. And I tried not to do this. I mean, I didn't even know if we had $5,000. I mean, I didn't know in the ministry personally what we could scrape up out of the couch. I didn't know if we had $5,000. I'm trying to, on the inside, I'm trying to act all, just keep it under 5,000, you know. I look all cool on the inside. It's going, oh God, I'm going to jail now, God. I don't even know if I have 5,000. What are you doing, God? I think, you know, I tell you, want to, can I go back under the tithes, please? Tithe was easy. It was simple. We got home. We checked everything. Sure enough, we had enough. And I mean, barely enough. I heard another preacher one time. He heard God say, give 10,000 into the offering. He says, God, time out. God, that's all I got. God says, that's all I asked for. That's the way it was here. But I got to tell you, we did have enough. The Holy Ghost knows what He's doing. He knew we had enough to cover it. We never missed a meal. We never missed anything. And we had the pleasure of her getting caught up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's only two ways that I know to give. Purpose in your own heart. And if you see a need, check. You know, is that a Lazarus laid at my gate or not? You know. Or then as his steward. And it's fun. We could go on. We could take service after service just telling examples of how he's done this. But right on the other hand, he's just blessed us. Blessed us with everything that we need. Hey, can you tell I'm not starving? You know? Have everything that we need. We just thank God for it. So let's just do that right now. Let's just bow your head for a moment. This is exactly how Sue and I do it. Say, Lord, we're listening. If you have an amount that you would like for me to give into this offering tonight, Lord, I'm listening. I hear your voice, Lord. I'm your hand in the earth. I'm listening. Then if you don't hear it, now if you hear an amount, my suggestion to you is give that. Do it as his steward. But if you don't, then purpose in your own heart what you'd like to give to support the work of the ministry, to support the expense, to help defray the expense. These things are expensive to do. Y'all already know that. Y'all ready? I give you enough time? Okay. Well, the usher ets. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, your real adventure with God, life, really the exciting part of Christianity begins when you start knowing Him well enough to trust Him, even if it's like us, scared, kind of haltingly stumbling along. But that's when the adventure begins, to hear and obey and watch the fruit come in. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your love. Father, I thank You for speaking to the hearts of these people. Those that heard Your voice, Lord, I know they're going to obey You. Be Your hand in the earth tonight. And Lord, otherwise, every gift that comes from a willing, loving, generous heart. Thank You for Your hand of blessing upon Your people. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen.